everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My, what a weekend on many different fronts. But here in Tucson, that weather was just incredible. Luckily, where we live in the central foothills, I'm happy to report we kind of missed the blunt of it. But if you're up on the northwest side, they are saying at the National Weather Service, one of the people at the National Weather Service has been in town 20 years. He said it is the worst monsoon storm he has seen in 20 years. And then look at it, two tornado warnings in 10 days in Tucson. Previous to that, I don't think we had one for 40 or 50 years. Something's going on, and we're going to pick up on that, the answer to that question, hopefully at 12:30. When our University of Arizona climate scientist, Dr. Zach Guido, will join us. By the way, hundreds, if not thousands of trees, many of them on the University of Arizona campus, are down from that storm. Just the power of that was just unbelievable. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday. It is the 15th of July, the middle of July, 2024. We are midway through our 14th year with our radio program after 22 years over on the TV show, Arizona Illustrated. We're coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the growing media presence of Bustos Media. We have five radio stations under one roof now. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening. You can hear the program live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we have every podcast, with a few exceptions, going back 13 and a half years. So there's a ton of content on my website. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. I have two of them in my home. He does beautiful photography, and they sell that in the gallery. Of course, the family, their picture framing that they do is second to none. And if you don't want to put on the wall, do it yourself. Moe will come out and make house calls and put the objects, the pictures framed up on the wall for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. All right, our Monday one-on-one guest this week is Mike Noble, founder and CEO of Noble Predictive Insights, which is a full-service market research, nonpartisan public opinion polling, and data analytics firm based in Phoenix. Hey, Mike, great to have you back on the show. Very serendipitous to have you on today. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, Bill.
All right. Everybody who has seen the images, and of course the image, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but just I'm curious, Mike, I'll begin with what are you thinking this morning or this afternoon?
I'm thinking it's unprecedented. I mean, it's been, last time since Reagan, last time this happened. And so, I mean, I think it's a little bit to process right now. One thing I have noticed is that it seems like everybody's out with a take already, which, I think is, yes, you can have a take on it, but I think it is far too early to see what the impact is going to be on the election. One thing we do know, I mean, it's not going to be anything negative, obviously, for Trump. But, a lot of people are out with all these different takes on all these different ways. And it's just, let's just give it a week or so to process first before we start seeing what the actual impacts are right now.
Yeah, and some of the stories, and I've been reading a ton of them, as have you, since the shooting. Everything, I think it's safe to say, a lot changed in this country, the political landscape, at a few minutes past 6 o'clock Eastern time. But some of the quoting that's being done from inside Democratic operatives who are very close to the Biden campaign, saying the election is over and the presidential election is over now, and they are focusing now on Congress and retaining Senate seats. Too early for that kind of talk, Mike Noble?
Oh, yeah, 100% it's too early. I mean, One is the electorate's incredibly polarized right now. I mean, you even saw after that debate performance, right? You know, it was clear you watched it. One clearly did a little better than the other. However, if you looked at the polls since then, I mean, the race maybe changed by like a point, if that, which easily could be statistical noise. So, you know, it's just funny that folks like these unnamed sources, et cetera, and I just think it's part of that 24-hour news cycle is that, no, it's not over by any stretch. You know, the question is for the Democrats, you know, are they going to continue to back Biden or are they going to go with an alternative? Because last I checked, there's still 4 months until Election Day. And so and the race is still pretty close. So, yeah, I think it's way too soon. But also, you know, all these unnamed sources, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unnamed source says this. And it's like, OK, you know, there's no doubt that Biden's in a tough spot right now. He's trying to, you know, prevent his side from revolting against them, which, again, we'll see how that plays out in the next month, but we could see some changes happen over there.
David Gergen, who served in the Reagan White House when the president was shot in 1981, and you mentioned that in your opening remarks, recalled an outpouring of support as Reagan was transformed into a martyr. There was just a wave of sympathy for Reagan. And apparently Reagan had a 20-point boost in the polls the week after the shooting. So it's interesting when the polling does come out. And normally a candidate does get a convention bump in the polls. And we've got the Republican convention beginning. It's going to be interesting to see what the polls are going to show the bump on Trump.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bill. And what's interesting is that when you look at historical norms in politics that we've seen, and again, it's always kind of been the case. However, it's just tough right now because the historical norms that used to bend were the kind of the playbook of politics is kind of being rewritten as we speak. So not only like when X would happen, Y would be the outcome. I mean, we used to have that, but now we're just seeing a much different dynamic we're seeing, because not only culturally, but also how the two sides are so ingrained against one another, which is also, I think, the other issue is that the hyper-partisanship, like, for example, just a few decades ago, when you looked at, you know, Pew Research, when they would ask, hey, you know, Democrat, what do you think of the Republican Party? And then you ask Republicans what you think of the Democratic Party. And it was 2 out of 10 had a very unfavorable opinion of the other team. Right. And then you fast forward to now, it's 6 in 10, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, have a very unfavorable opinion of the other team. So like the dynamics have really changed a lot since then. I mean, I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just saying the dynamics of when, you know, what was going on with Reagan, you know, culturally where politics was at that point to now, it's just very different. And so, you know, we'll wait and see, but I don't think we're going to see a 20-point gain by any stretch, but we'll see if there's going to be some changes, obviously, from this.
All right, I want to talk about image, and as you know, Mike Noble, image is such a big deal in politics, probably outweighs content when all is said and done. And I want to quote here from a piece that was in the Daily Beast. Make no mistake, the image of a blood-stained Trump standing with one arm aloft instantly takes its place alongside the greatest photos in American history. And I would agree with that. I think this is going to be an iconic photo that's going to be around forever.
Yeah, I mean, I think the photo, the perception of it, I mean, you can't disagree that that is going to obviously be a net benefit to Trump. But what we're, you know, looking at seeing image wise is going to see, you know, how much does it actually move the needle with the electorate? And the other big question is Biden actually still going to be the nominee, which we don't know right now. I think, you know, that's definitely coming to question, especially as of late. And we'll see how long they can hold the line there if they can tamp that down. So, again, I don't disagree that it would be an iconic photo, but also I think it's just, you know, how many opinions is it going to change? That's just the big question we don't know. I mean, you can pontificate on it all day, which a lot of people are, but we just don't know what that impact actually is going to be. We'll know, though, in a few weeks.
What do we know, Mike? What does the latest polling on your end show about the race in Arizona for president?
You know, the latest polling, you know, whether you look at ours or you just look at the average, you know, right now we have, I think, Trump plus +3 in Arizona. I think whether you look at 538 or Real Clear Politics, so those are the polling aggregators. We'll take all the polls and average them out. And basically, it's I think it's like around Trump plus +3.7 to Trump plus +4, right in there. Either way, you look at here in Arizona, it has an edge to Trump, because remember, Biden barely won Arizona last time. So last time a Democrat carried Arizona since Biden was Bill Clinton back in the 80s. And, you know, and Biden barely carried Arizona by, 11,000 votes roughly. So he barely squeaked by. But right now it shows not only Biden ahead in Arizona, or not Biden, Trump ahead in Arizona, but also in the six main battleground swing states. On average right now, Trump seems to have the edge over Biden right now. So currently, Trump is sitting in the better electoral position if the election were held today.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Mike Noble is with us, well-known Arizona pollster, really serendipitous to have Mike on today in light of everything that has happened over the weekend. And we've got a lot more to talk to him about. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday in the middle of July. We will be right back with you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The Monday one-on-one guest this week is Mike Noble, the founder and CEO of Noble Predictive Insights, which is a full-service market research, nonpartisan public opinion polling, and data analytics firm based in Phoenix. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and the Monday one-on-one, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. According to sources from the Associated Press, Mike, former President Donald Trump has made his decision on the vice presidential pick, which will be revealed today. And Florida Senator Marco Rubio and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum have both been informed they are not Trump's pick, according to the Associated Press. So that would leave Ohio Senator J.D. Vance is the only known candidate on Trump's short list who has not received a call, though Trump has been known to throw curveballs and surprises. What's your take on if it is J.D. Vance?
I think the odds are decent that it may be J.D. Vance, especially with given last time go around when Trump ran, he kind of listened to the previous political infrastructure there and did kind of what was traditional for when picking a VP candidate. But I think, Trump this go around is kind of learned some lessons, but also I think deciding that, hey, I'm going to go the way I think it should go. So, but I think we're all going to be in suspense, but also I think that's a good chunk of why a lot of folks are going to be watching the convention this weekend for that news. But yeah, the news comes out today. Not surprised though, it wasn't Marco Rubio, because Marco Rubio, granted, he's Hispanic Latino. He's just not the right Hispanic Latino, given the fact that where Trump's base right now, or where he's trying to grab some of these more persuadable voters, it's not the Cuban Hispanic Latinos, but looking for more of the Central South American Cuban Latinos. So Rubio checks the box, just not the right one, because Cubans are pretty close in his camp. And then Burgum, I never really got the logic in that one. But, Vance, though, I think, Vance aligns with them, and, a decent chance it is. But with Trump, I mean, we won't know until the announcement comes. So there could be a curveball in there. You cannot rule that out.
How are we doing? What's the polling showing in our Senate race with Carrie Lake as the Republic? Well, we don't know if she's going to be the how does that race look with Carrie Lake and Sheriff Lamb?
Well, the race with Lake and Lamb, we've pulled that a few times, and last we checked about a month or so ago, Lake was up about 2-1 over Lamb. If the election were held today, I think it was about 48% Lake and 21% Lamb. The issue there right now is that Lamb just is suffering from a lack of name ID. So he's just not as known compared to Carrie Lake, is far more known in Republican circles. And he's also suffering from not really having the resources to get his message out. Last campaign finance report, he only had about 250,000 cash on hand, where, Lake had several million cash on hand. So when you're in a position going against somebody and you're down, especially because you're less known, you have to get it two ways. One is earned media or paid media. Well, it doesn't really have money to spend. And he hasn't really put up any big fundraising numbers recently. And then, the other part is earned media, but he hasn't really been out there really pounding the pavement on the media aspect. So I think it's very likely Lake is going to end up winning the primary. I mean, crazier things have happened, but odds are, Lake will be the nominee going against the presumptive nominee on the Democratic side, which is Ruben Gallego.
How does that race look? Any polling on that one, Lake versus Gallego?
Yeah, there's been a bunch of polling on that. I mean, current average right now, if you look at, not just at any one given poll, if you just look at the average of the polls, it's, I think, Ruben plus 5 or so, right in that range. So Ruben Gallego plus five. And it's mainly because when you look at it, Lake is a bit more defined than Ruben. Lake, ran for governor last time. Again, very well known in the state, but she also has, she's very well defined, but also her negatives are kind of high. Because overall, when you look at the electorate, her overall image, she's about negative eight overall. So among those that have a positive negative opinion, she's at a net negative eight. So overall, kind of has to, adjust a little bit there. So she's kind of defined not in a good way, where Ruben less defined, but he's got the money advantage and he's been defining himself positively. If you look at his ads, it says, hey, I'm a veteran, I'm an Arizonan, I'm a dad. So kind of defining himself that way. But, and if you also too look at that race, I mean, 3-4 months ago, every single election forecaster had that race identified as a toss up. So, it could go either way. But once Sinema announced that she was not going to be running for that Senate race, and it went from that three-way matchup to a head-to-head matchup, pretty much every forecaster has moved that race to from toss-up to lean Democrat, which personally, if I were to be given it a rating right now, I would probably say it's lean Democrat right now. But the other interesting thing about that race is that, Republicans, it's currently tied 50-50 between Republicans and Democrats on control for the U.S. Senate. And so Republicans just need to win a few seats this year. They don't need to run up the scoreboard, and the seats that they have up are pretty defensible. So the only reach opportunities for Democrats on the national, board is really Texas and Florida. But I think those are kind of, a bit of a stretch for them, where, Democrats have Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan up, where they have to kind of defend. So the map is very, good strategically for Republicans. They don't really have places they need to defend where Democrats do. So the top pickups right now are where their target opportunities is Ohio, Montana are their top two, and number three is Nevada, and I'd say number four is Arizona. The thing is, though, Democrats are just going to have more money than Republicans on the U.S. Senate map. They have the last, 3-4 cycles, and it'll likely be the same this time. So they're going to have finite resources. So I think right now, and that's why I think they've kind of moved the edge to Ruben, just because he's in a bit of better position. He's going to have the funds advantage, and also Lake is, pretty defined and kind of been struggling to get outside of her previous persona that she's built among Arizona voters.
All right, here is the announcement. The ticket will be Trump and Vance. This on Trump announcing a few minutes ago on his Truth Social platform, Mike Noble. Here's the quote. After lengthy deliberation and thought and considering the tremendous talents of many others, I have decided that the person that is best suited to assume the position of Vice President of the United States is Senator J.D. Vance of the great state of Ohio. So there you go, Mike Noble.
There you go. And I think, that goes to the point that I was mentioning earlier, is that, Trump learned a lot from his first run for president, and granted he's running again, but it's not the same show. And this time, he's making different decisions compared to what the traditional political calculus was when you pick in your vice president, compared to hey, who's the one that I want to pick, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Vance is kind of a perfect reflection of, one that kind of reflects Trump more, and kind of more in line with, his style and ultimately where he wants to go with it. So I think it's another point that he's definitely learned some lessons from last time.
All right. What's the latest polling showing? How do Arizonans view the economy? What are the issues that they care about right now, Mike Noble?
What is it? 1 out of 3 Arizonans think the economy is good in Arizona. And it's mainly due to, because when you look at the top issues or top concerns among voters, where they are is that the first one is inflation. Biggest pain point is inflation, followed closely by immigration. And then it's cost of living. And then abortion are actually the top four. So you have kind of two pocketbook issues with inflation and cost of living, so housing affordability, things like that. And then then you have the two respective social issues, the key wedge issue on the Republican side, which is immigration, and the key social issue on the wedge issue on the Democratic side, which is abortion. So those are kind of the four that are spearheading, but you have two pocketbook issues right there at the top.
the border issue, if that makes the ballot, and abortion, any polling done on those two?
I haven't polled on the border security one yet. Mm-hmm. Frankly, you know, we know border security is an important issue for the electorate overall, especially among Republicans and independent voters, especially because immigration has been a key issue for, what, 2 decades here in Arizona, but yet nothing's really changed. So you could see Arizona's, you know, being favorable towards it. But frankly, I'll know more once I actually test it among Arizonans. But one thing we do know is that, you know, how is that going to impact turnout? It's like, well, turnout's going to be high, I think, either way, because Arizona, either way you look at it, we're going to be literally competitive up and down the ticket. We're likely going to decide who sits in the White House, who controls the U.S. Senate, and also who controls Congress.
All right, Mike, we're going to have to wrap it up. We've got a segment on our weather and our climate. Have you done any polling on, do Arizonans, how do they feel about climate change, real quickly?
It's incredibly low. I mean, right now, when you look at the top issues, it's in the single digits when it comes to Arizonans as that being a top issue or top concern for them.
So okay.
It's on the back burner.
Mike Noble, founder and CEO of Noble Predictive Insights. What's your website? Where can we send listeners to you, Michael?
Oh, yeah. If they want to check out, just go to NoblePredictiveInsights.com or Noble Predictive is our Twitter handle. But if you want to go on there, we have tons of press releases, blogs, et cetera. But if you're into nonpartisan, unbiased data, feel free to sign up there and you can get all that you want.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Our one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I want to send as many of our listeners as possible over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River. And after the hail, there can be a lot of people whose gardens were kind of wiped out by the size of that hail, ping pong ball size hail from the big storm. So that you may want to go buy Green Things. Start all over again, 3384 East River Road, their 13-acre site, everything you need for the garden. Their sister business, Zocalo Village, has all the beautiful pottery and some imported things from all over the world, really, at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things, 53 years in business, and they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, like we did the first half hour, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Zach Guido joins us now in studio. Our contributor on climate, he is assistant research professor at the Arizona Institute for Resilience, known as AIR, acronym AIR, which is appropriate, coordinating interdisciplinary groups of faculty, students, and protects our projects across the University of Arizona's campus, from climate science to public policy, law, the arts, water resources, and beyond. Okay, Zach, wow. Huge storm. And for once, I can happily say that I did not have to worry about a garden wiped out, because we were in sort of a weird pocket there at Swan and Sunrise, where there was kind of a thin line. There were two kind of like barbells, if you looked at the weather, at the radar, and we were kind of the bar, and we didn't get a lot of wind and rain, but boy, this thing really roared into your area, didn't it?
Yeah, I wish I could say the same thing. We seemed to be ground zero, or one of the ground zeros for that storm. But yeah, what an explosive event. What, around 5 p.m.? So I'm close to downtown, like close to the intersection of I-10 and I-19. And there was this line of storms coming from the east. And then there was... to our south, another convective cell that sent out sort of like an outflow, and those two things collided and created that really intense event. We got like an inch and a half, and it was even actually further north, like Prince along I-10. It was even some reports of like two plus inches. So we had ping pong size hail, like destroyed. We have two roof leaks, like skylights damaged. So good that it missed you. So good that it hit us.
There are hundreds of trees are down across the area, maybe even thousands, according to the National Weather Service. And one of the weather people at the National Weather Service, been with NOAA over 20 years here in Tucson, and he said this is the strongest monsoon storm in his time here.
Yeah, that's saying a lot. I think there are reports of, winds 80 miles an hour. So just there was a lot of potential in the forecast for these downdrafts that sort of generate these outflows and these microbursts that can really create like these really intense wind events that are really sort of, that lead the the intense rainfall. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly saying a lot. I mean, this season for me, I mean, it's been really interesting, hasn't it? I mean, it came on, right? Like if you go back to the old dew point definition,
right,
which is a measure of moisture in mm-hmm. In the atmosphere, and I think it would have crossed that threshold June 23rd. So that's a whole like week, 10 days before the historical onset, you know, mm-hmm. and it persisted, you know, for up until I would think like around the 4th of July, and then there was a shift and monsoon activity sort of died down for a week, and, you know, and then it ramped up again. So we sort of had like this really, it was really quite impressive amount of moisture around.
Yeah, we got 3 inches in 90 minutes on that Saturday, 3 or 4 Saturdays ago. It's almost, I think
three
it's 4.
3 inches at your house.
Yeah, 3 yeah. inches at our house. That signaled the start of the monsoon at the Buckmaster Bungalow.
Yeah, I think this is where, so I've seen reports, like the National Weather Service put out, I think a tweet a while ago about that this year was the 4th wettest June at the airport, which is mm-hmm. true.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that actually covers up the airport hasn't received that much rain.
No.
I think we're at like an inch and a third after last night's event. I mean, last night mm-hmm. was just a tenth of an inch or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm 4 miles away from mm-hmm. the airport and mm-hmm. we've got an inch and a half. But yeah, across the broader Tucson area, you've got June values in the threes for particularly
yes.
central.
Yeah, in our area, there were some neighbors who put in their gauge showed 4 inches.
Yeah.
So we had another event a week or so later. So our total up at our place, Swan and River, is just under 5 inches from 3. Because we did get, luckily we didn't get the high winds, but we got a half an inch out of the storm yesterday. So we're almost at 5 inches for three rain events at our place.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's
yeah.
June.
Yeah.
Right? So that's just, you know, when you tally it back, when you look back on the monsoon season, it's hard not to have a good monsoon season when you're getting that much rainfall in June. So if the weather service, or sorry, if the airport is 4th in June in terms of the total precipitation, I think the first on record was 2016. And then the third was 2000, and I think there was an early, like, 1950, 1954 year in there that rounded out the top four. But again, I think this year I'd have to go back and do a little bit more of a detailed analysis. But again, we had precipitable water values that looked more like mid-August than they did June, and it was pretty spectacular for the first part of the monsoon. And I should say that what was interesting about it was we had this ridged off to our east. And then if people remember, there was this tropical storm that had hit Central America, Alberta?
Alberta.
Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. and the way that the position of that high pressure was such that it helped funnel in that moisture from the tropical storm. So you had that tropical storm. They tend not to occur that early in June, late June. You know, the height of the season is later on in the summer. So you had this like unique setup meteorologically with where the ridge was. It was creating clockwise air movement, funneled in some of that moisture from Alberta into our area, and really sort of like, you know, kicked off the monsoon, and it really like persisted. Again, we had that break for a week starting in, you know, around the weekend of July 4th. And, you know, now the last couple of days have been the sort of classic monsoon setup with the Four Corners high position, and, you know, more rainfall and more widespread rainfall. So,
well, what caused yesterday to be so violent when you look at the, how did that whole storm develop?
Yeah, well, I should say that, you know, severe storm meteorology isn't my forte.
I understand.
But I tuned in to a webinar this morning that was actually sort of deconstructing that event, so I can talk
okay.
a little bit about this from the Atmospheric and Hydrology Department, who talk mm-hmm. a lot about this. Well, first of all, there was moisture in the area. So we had something like, an inch and a half, a little less than an inch and a half of actual precipitable moisture. And that's a key ingredient. Obviously, without moisture around.
In other words, the atmosphere was very moist.
It was moist, okay. Yeah. I wouldn't say it was like extremely moist. I mean, those values are quite common, but there was enough moisture there. And we also had, sort of the profile of the atmosphere, the thermodynamic profile of the atmosphere was such that it was conducive for if you can move that moist air near the surface upward, it was conducive for that air to sort of generate large convective storms. And then the third ingredient was a wind profile that had some shear in it. And this is where you can get these tornadoes when you have the change in direction of airflow as you move vertically up in the atmosphere. And if that's strong, that sort of shear helps create that rotation as air is rising because you get these updrafts during these big convective storms. It's actually how you get hail as well. You rain falls and then it sort of gets pulled up and moved back up to much cooler conditions. And then that rain sort of becomes, crystallized and they grow. And so you get these strong updrafts and you can get the rotation due to the wind profile. So all of that was present yesterday, but that can be present and we don't get these extreme kinds of conditions. And what the atmospheric department was saying was this was kind of on the outer versions, a sort of one in, 100 kind of event, if you will. Like it was just uncommon that the extremeness of yesterday would otherwise happen. It can happen, but it was sort of unlikely. What they pointed to was, again, you had these storms that sort of initiated more to our east. They were moving, they were being steered toward the west. You also had convective cells pop off to our south. Those cells generate these outflows, winds, and basically the storms from moving east to west collided with these outflows.
There you go.
Help generate that
perfect
lift.
Perfect storm.
Yeah, right around the junction of I-10 and I-19. And then there was another version of that happened further north up I-10. So it was sort of mm-hmm. like the collision of these two air masses.
Well, as folks know, and I've talked about it, last summer we had two what were termed kind of 1-in-100-year events in 10 days up in our neighborhood. And it's like, it seems like it's at the beginning, early in the monsoon, that we get these kind of violent activities. Or is there anything to that?
I mean, I would say that it's fairly evenly distributed.
Okay.
I mean, it may be just memory here doesn't serve us that well. We sort of have a tendency to sort of have a recency bias. And that would be my mm-hmm. thought is like the monsoon by nature produces like highly variable in space and time rainfall. And, I would imagine that there'd be quite a bit of severe sort of weather throughout the monsoon season.
The wind gust was 70, the highest gust was 76 miles an hour in the Tucson Mountains, but the range was certainly in the 60 to 70 mile an hour range. So let's pause right here. Zach Guido is with me. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday. More with Zach after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show on a very busy Monday. Zach Guido is with us, our University of Arizona climate scientist and our contributor on climate to the Buckmaster Show. Let's leave the storm for a few minutes, talk about temperatures. Tony Davis had a report in the Star, excellent reporting as usual from Tony about this new study finding Tucson is well over 7 degrees hotter than if a city with pavement and other heat-related development hadn't been built. In other words, we've heard all about kind of the urban heat
island
factor island, and this study, I guess, pretty much verifies that.
Yeah, the urban heat island is a
I don't
real...
know what Phoenix, how much, I don't know what this said about how much, if we're 7 degrees hotter, I don't know what Phoenix is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, materials, I think everybody is acutely aware that, you know, if they put their hand on a hot summer day, like close to the pavement, it's like, it's not 105 degrees, you know, it's more like, you know, 130.
Yeah.
These materials, you know, they soak up heat and they radiate heat and they make the ambient temperature warmer. I mean, what many people probably don't know is that the actual temperatures that you see from the National Weather Service, that's a measure of the ambient air, like not in the direct sunlight. You know, so they're measured within a box, like in the shade, you know, and just, you know, 110 degrees in the shade. Like we all know, you know, that boy, that the sun can feel vicious when we're standing out directly in the sunlight. So yes, you know, honestly, I've seen people refer to that study. I hadn't read it myself, but my first thought is 7 degrees. I would have thought it would have actually been a little bit more. But there's a lot of things that can be done to mitigate that, right? Like, you know, cool roofs, you know, just painting your roofs, you know, white, obviously for reflectivity. There's a lot of, you know, work being done on, you know, creating shade and, you know, trees and, you know, not having, you know, solid asphalt and buildings, like having areas where there's actually vegetation around.
Phoenix was about the same as Tucson, by the way, and Las Vegas, all around 7.5 degrees hotter. And New York City, some areas and neighborhoods, 12 degrees hotter due to the urban amplified heat.
Well, right, and then there's an equity issue here, too, because when you look within a city's pattern, there tends to be more built environment. You know, lower income areas tend to have fewer trees, fewer vegetation. Mm-hmm. They tend to be more dominated by roads and asphalt and have, like, greater signatures of heat. And so there's differences also within a city of some are more than 7 degrees, some are less than 7 degrees. And they, you know, split down socioeconomic, you know, divides. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity here to get more heat friendly in cities with engineering, with urban planning. And so there's a lot of smart people like thinking about this, and it can, you know, be economical as well. And they're really, you do both.
So where are we with monsoon 2024 that began June, I think you said 23rd, maybe one of the earliest starts ever. So actually we're a few days away from a 1 month mark of monsoon 2024.
Yeah. So, in our southeast Arizona, I mean, we're most. I should caveat this by saying there is not enough measurement sites out there. We always want more, particularly for the monsoon, which is really, you know, very variable in space. But a lot of the, you know, National Weather Service monitoring sites are above average. Not all of them, but. They're above average. Like with a early onset, it tilts the chances for when you look back the entire monsoon to be above average. So I would feel, if I was going to bet on it, I would think that, you know, the monsoon season will come in a little bit above average.
However, we've had some early starts before and things really dried out.
It's true. There has been those occasions. Yeah. If you look at the current forecast, so the 6 to 10 day, the 10 to 14, and the week 3 to 4 by NOAA, they're all favoring for increased chances of above average rainfall. So that takes us through into, you know, the first part of August, let's say. So, but then when you look out for August, the models are calling for a dry scenario.
Yes.
So I do think, though, that you just increase your chances of having a good monsoon. And when you look at it in retrospect and in aggregate over, you know, a large spatial area, when you have an early onset. So, I mean, we were thinking a month before June, we were thinking that July, we weren't even thinking about June. We never really think about June, right? Like,
no,
anything
June
you get during
a,
June.
Normally,
is,
traditionally, it's a hot, dry month, like May.
Right.
Yeah.
So the models were calling for a dry July. And so I've been very presently surprised. And, you know, can this keep it up? I think it can. Will it? I have no idea.
Well, one thing we hope is that that event yesterday is a 1 in 100 year event, or I don't know, not common.
Yeah, I mean,
which your friends at the University of Arizona indicated was very, very rare.
Yeah, and I think the point that they were making is sort of like the setup of it. What was sort of, if you run the models like 100 times, like what actually happened might occur once in the models. But like the actual amount of rainfall, I mean, we didn't see a 1 in 100 year rainfall.
No.
We had excessive.
It really wasn't about the rain, the storm yesterday. It
wind,
was about the
hail.
Wind. Yeah.
You know, those things, I mean, listen, since I've been here 15 years, you know, I've had two storms that I think are probably, you know, top five.
Gonna have to leave it there. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
All right. This portion of our news and the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Good place to cool off for sure. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. You can find out more. I hope you will visit their website before you take the three-hour drive, which isn't bad at all to cool off. We say it's usually 10 degrees, maybe even more cooler over there. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.